Brian Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bears, Mr. David, what more can be said?
Morty Muller, yes, happy Monday in Chicago, a victory Monday. That was exactly what the Bears needed to do.
Bears.
And they did it well, convincingly. I think a lot of people that went into the game and maybe over the last couple weeks had reasons to doubt the Bears are finding reasons to believe again. It's starting to feel a little bit like preseason again. A lot of hope, of hype, and a lot of things that yesterday Caleb Williams delivered, the offense rebounded, and that was a good win.
Listen, it was a great win, okay? And I don't care who you're playing. It is a great win. The NFL, tough to win games, and the Bears got one, and you should feel wonderful about it because that's all that matters. And now they're getting on a flight tonight to head to London, and you got a chance to win a getaway game on Sunday morning, and then you got the bye week. I mean, what more do you want out of life?
A getaway game in London.
I'm just saying.
Getaway.
You can stay in London if you
want.
Why not?
You're going to have the week off, right? Extend the holiday.
Shuttle over to Paris.
I think there's a lot of things you could do to take advantage of this opportunity traveling abroad for Bears players, coaches, or fans. I mean, a lot of fans are going, why not? This is an opportunity. From a football perspective, this is the soft part of your schedule. You better take care of business. You better take care of business because it's going to get tougher in a hurry. You are now suddenly in the toughest division in football. That will start to sound very daunting come November.
Everyone in the division is a winner.
Everyone is. And everyone looks like they're going to only get better. There's no reason to doubt any of the teams that are in there with you. With the Packers coming back and you look at the Lions taking the weekend off with a bye week. Kind of odd. Early bye week. But the Packers doing what they needed to do in L.A. Molly, this Bears season is shaping up if you can take care of business in London the way that most people thought it would. 4-2 at the bye is something to look forward to and something to be happy about if it happens.
Yeah, if you get a 3-game winning streak going into the bye, that is beautiful. That's what you want. That's how you get better. They should get better. They'll get better health for some players. Ooh. We'll see maybe a different – well, we're seeing a different offensive line anyway, but who knows how different it may look by the bye weekend.
Same with your quarterback. He keeps getting better. That will be the story of the week, I think. But as you said coming in, this is not one of those victories where you look at and this isn't a but game.
Right.
This isn't a but.
No, they won that game.
It was the Panthers. We know these things.
So what?
You're the Bears. You need to take care of the business. You can assume nothing, and they didn't. They were prepared. I thought their offensive game plan was improved after the first series when you went, here we go again. Then I thought Shane Waldron called a pretty balanced game and took advantage of some of the things that were obvious to anybody watching, and Caleb Williams was efficient, and he protected the football intelligently. That was a good sign, too.
There was nothing bad in the game. Okay, so the Panthers stink out loud. They're not a good football team, and they've got problems in their secondary, and they had a guy expelled from the game, and they had, four guys go down with injury, including their center and maybe their right tackle. They lost a defensive player. But who cares? If you're running a 7-on-7 drill, you want that kind of efficiency, and you saw it. I mean, at one point, and we'll talk to DJ Moore, at one point, the corner is on him, and he hands him over to the safety, who happened to be in the box at the time. So there's no one there. And where's the ball? It's in DJ Moore's hands, and that's how you score a touchdown.
Good recognition. We talked about all week. Boy, it'd be nice to see him go vertical rather than horizontal.
Yeah.
And the Bears, I think, came to the same conclusion, obviously, because – he had a big game. It's about time. He goes over 100 yards, and he was targeted just enough to be dangerous. Everything was working.
Yeah,
everything worked. And you know, here's what I like. There'll be a lot of numbers we're going to look at, and there are a lot of statistics to pour through. But when you look at the box score, and you see that Caleb Williams has 29 pass attempts.
Yes.
29 pass attempts, and he's got his second 300-yard game in passing. That is what you want to see because they ran the ball 39 times. They threw it 29. And that run to pass ratio is how I think you're going to establish an identity. That's how you're going to get your offensive line, you know, moving the pile and doing things that they can do and play to their strengths. And that's a good thing for Caleb Williams, because he took another step, and how big it was, we can debate all week, but it's in the right direction, and that's the main thing.
He completed 20 of the 29 attempts. He was sacked once, so 30 pass plays, and he threw two touchdowns, and here's another big one, zero interceptions. You know, I mean, you really want to talk about it. The first play of the game could have been a pick six.
Could have been.
I'm just saying.
It was almost as if he learned from that.
Oh, my God.
And he tightened it up after that, because that could have been disastrous.
Yes.
The first snap could have been a pick six. It wasn't. He was intended to Keenan Allen. It was behind him. And
it was a hell of a game. Hell of a game. I mean, you can't – there's not a lot that you can complain about. They played an NFL team, one they're better than, and they dominated a team they are better than. That's what you're supposed to do. That's their eighth consecutive home victory. That's what you're supposed to do. Protect that home field. All the fans that go out there, get a great show and feel good leaving, because they win when you go.
It's remarkable when you look at the Bears having the longest winning streak at home of any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you start to, wait, can this be a misprint? You're double-checking and you're fact-checking yourself, and you're looking at it like, really? Matt Eberflus's Bears team has not lost at home since when? But it's something to be proud of. They're giving up a home game. They're going to London.
Yeah.
They don't play again at Soldier Field till November 10th.
Isn't that something?
That's really something. That's over a month.
Right.
So now they will be tested.
London game's a home game. Does that count against?
No, I don't think so. Because I think right. I mean, it's got you're at home, but it's going to feel very much like a neutral site. And some difficult, unusual conditions. Both teams will be playing under the same conditions. My sense would be that the Jaguars have more players who are used to that, just because haven't they played over there more often? That's kind of like their home away from home.
Yeah, they play there every year. Shad Khan, the owner of Jacksonville, went to the U of I, for God's sake. He's one of ours. He has tons of real estate, tons of connections in London. He owns Wembley Stadium, for God's sake.
Well, they're coming in off a overtime or last second victory. They came back and beat the Colts, and Joe Flacco, who was dynamic. Oh my gosh, Joe Flacco was something else yesterday. You look at his numbers, they're crazy.
Cleveland wishes he was still there.
No doubt about that.
He wouldn't quit on him.
No, he would not quit on him. Ouch. But the Jaguars are coming in off a victory. They needed that. A lot of dissension, controversy surrounding their locker room and Doug Peterson. We'll continue to look at them as the week progresses. But right now, the Bears' only thing they have to worry about is they're coming off of a game and a victory that they look good in all aspects, and they have another team that they can beat in similar fashion.
Yeah, I think you got to like pretty much everything that happened yesterday. And it kind of, as you say, if you just look at the passer rating of the quarterback, he's getting better week in and week out. And this game was a 126.2 passer rating. I love passer rating for one reason. It is a really seriously bizarre formula. They have explained it multiple times. I do not believe that they were trying to do any – basically, when the NFL got together in 1970 and the AFL and the NFL became one, they needed to figure out a way to compare quarterbacks over the years. And so they came up with this formula. And the people on the committee, I've talked to some of them, it was very happenstance. They were trying to get to 100. They wanted you to be able to tell if you threw for 100 rating, you're doing pretty well. What I love about it is it punishes interceptions. So as long as you hang on to the ball, as long as you don't throw the ball away, you're going to have a pretty good passer rating, even if you don't throw for a lot of yards.
It's a good teaching tool.
Yes, it is.
Because you don't want to get caught up in statistics if you're a coach or if you're a player, but it does reward caution and prudence and all the things that you have seen Caleb Williams apply to his own game.
Yep.
Yesterday after the first kind of errant throw, but he's been careful 2 weeks in a row. And what we saw yesterday was him kind of mixing in that sort of game manager tendency with also not being afraid to look down the field.
He's got a world-class arm. I mean, when he makes the touchdown pass, the second touchdown pass to DJ Moore at the end of the half, that was not only was that like, you know, oh, okay, the game's over, and that was the 20th point of the second quarter, but that pass was excellent, and DJ Moore also absolutely fantastic. Had a great game. Look forward to talking to him, congratulating him. And it was so funny. Someone tweeted out a photo. DJ, after scoring that touchdown, he went back and he sat by himself on the bench. So he's not mad.
It's something he does.
Yeah.
It's part of his routine.
Thank you.
And you're right on that catch. You know, the
great catch.
Accurate great throw and the strong hands.
Yep.
That's why it's such a dangerous combination.
Oh,
it's good to see DJ Moore have some numbers. That kind of, I think he needed that. And that when he scored one of the touchdowns, maybe it was his first, I can't remember which it was, but he almost let out a visceral scream to the crowd, to no one in particular. But it was just like all of this 5 weeks or first month of frustration,
right,
which you know that he felt and handled it pretty well. He's not a guy who's used to talking about his body language. He's not used to talking about anything really negative. And yesterday gave him reasons to, against his former team, talk about something positive. And it did mean something to him, as he alluded to post-game, because it was his former team.
And listen, there were a lot of really good things that went down. I thought that they got DeAndre Swift involved as they had the week before, and he was both in the passing game and the running game. You got a good sense of why they wanted to sign him, and he played really well. And Roschon Johnson with the heavy package on the goal line on fourth down, you got to like that the Bears are doing something and have developed their own version of the Philadelphia tush push. They've
I like that.
You know,
it's their thing.
It's their
thing. What do we clamor for the first couple weeks in identity?
Identity.
You know, now they have a red zone short yardage package.
That's
you see
right.
Doug Kramer coming in, and you wonder, motion or not motion? Where's he lining up? Backfield or as a on the slot? Or is he just going to be an unbalanced line? I like the fact now he can avoid the penalty. The clip wasn't good.
No,
but
that was weird.
It was a little bit unusual.
That was the first clips in how long? It was a weirdest thing
I haven't heard
ever.
Clipping called in so long.
I know. It's crazy.
I look forward to talking to Olin to get that explanation.
The last time I heard clipping was when Flusi went to the barber. In Hard Knocks. The barber up there.
Right.
Listen, that was great.
So Doug Kramer coming in, and I was just wondering if they had in their, when they were comfortably ahead, if they were going to call a pass to him. You know they have to have one.
When
he goes in motion.
Yeah.
He reported in, 68 eligible, and the next phase of the mini fridge is to expand.
Don't want to see that.
Well, I think you.
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's coming. I got it.
If it's a 10 or more point lead, I think you're going to see the play action fake, the toss to the mini fridge. And remember, you heard it here first.
Can I tell you that you heard it here on Friday that they would get up enough so that they could have the backup quarterback in? And Kieran Amagachi also got into
did
the
game. Did he really?
Yes.
I'm so glad for you that he did. Tyson Bagent took three knees. All he did was kill his yardage total.
Amagachi was blocking for it.
Three carries, negative 4 yards. That just killed their rushing statistics.
But it
was fun when you can do that. And I think that the short yardage red zone performance and production was better. And you're right. You get to the sense where you know they're bringing in the heavy tight end package. Here comes Doug Kramer. They got one play out of that. They're going to hand it to Roschon Johnson.
Yeah, they
and then go downhill and get in a fight. Hey, Roschon Johnson has now gotten punched twice this year.
That's so bizarre. I thought the same thing. I thought he was on the sideline standing there. He is clocked, and then he scores. And why is he getting hit?
Why is he getting hit? Has he got a punchable face?
What was that about?
I love
who was doing the announcing. I think it was Vilma, and he's like, Hey, you could have hit on the play before. You hit him before that. Like, it was insane.
It was very much a product of frustration.
Wow.
J.C. Horn's
lost cornerback, his mind.
He's had enough. I mean,
you know what, though?
Caleb Williams went after him. I think that they weren't afraid of him. He's a very good cornerback.
Yeah, they went
but
right
he
at
had
him.
No business making a little bit of fisticuffs after the play.
Was he the guy that hit Caleb Williams, like, down by the goal line, out of bounds?
No, I don't
think
so.
Because somebody hit him,
yeah.
And I thought, when I watched that fight, I thought, is that going back to the non-call? They should have called.
They should have called that.
Or whatever. They should have called a personal
foul. Wasn't that Scott? I think it was Scott that collided with him and he backed off.
Okay.
But he should have been called. That was a penalty.
That was
no doubt about that.
Absolute garbage.
Maybe that created a little bad blood.
That's what I thought. Maybe there were words exchanged.
Because Matt Pryor came over.
Oh, yeah.
He'd had enough.
He's a big man.
He's a large human being.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he took a little bit of a swipe.
And he got shoved, and he got knocked out.
Then he got cheap-shotted from behind.
Yeah,
that was the cheapest shot.
I know. And he got a 15-yard penalty, but it was offsetting. And he did not get thrown out of the game. The guy hit him.
Yeah, because
we'll see what the NFL does.
He'll have to pay a fine. And both teams are a little bit miffed at that point. Didn't know what was happening quite. But
that was insane.
He could have a little skirmish. Skirmish.
Nothing wrong with a skirmish.
The two teams don't like each other.
Show
if I were
fight.
The Panthers, I'd be ticked off coming to Chicago again, second year in a row. And also, Ryan Poles, this was, of all the things big picture, like he had to be sitting there just laughing at what was happening because he didn't get the job in Carolina, comes back to Chicago, then he fleeces the Panthers. The guy who he dealt with gets fired. Now he's got all these assets, and he spent the week talking about what a great trade it was and spent Sunday looking at what a great trade resulted in.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
hey, you saw Bryce Young. Did you see him?
Yes, I did. I thought he looked like a high school kid.
He's kind of a little fella. I didn't know if you saw him.
Is this halftime? Or are they letting
I thought maybe the big guys were standing around him.
He is small.
Disappears in the huddle.
He's so small.
He's a very little man.
And yet he did against the Bears second team move the ball.
They brought in the second team for him. It was perfect.
Andy Dalton looked like he was 36. He looked like and that red hair is going to be gray very soon.
Oh boy. He took some shots.
It's really something.
The Bears hit him, man. I mean the quarterback hits was ridiculous. What, they have 10 hits on the quarterback and I believe they had 10 hits on the quarterback and 3 sacks when he left. So that's, I don't know. I mean, they sacked Young once, didn't they? I don't remember, but
yeah,
I think they had 4 sacks, but 3 on Andy and they hit him 10 times. That's mean.
Well,
he's an old man.
He looked old. He looked much older against the Bears than he had in the previous weeks. I think it has something to do with the defense that recovered. The defense bounced back. Chuba Hubbard did what we expected him to do early on. 38-yard touchdown run.
It was weird that they scored, right?
They gashed the Bears' run defense, and then the Bears overall did what they typically do. They came at Andy Dalton with different blitzes. They sacked him. They created takeaways. Jaquan Brisker brought the lumber. Boy, that was a hit.
Yeah. How about, kudos to Kevin Byard for the interception. That was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like a punt. It was up there so long.
I know.
Then he went up and got it, and he played the ball better than the receiver played the ball. And that's one of those situations you see why Kevin Byard has as many interceptions as any defensive back in football, I think, over the last 5 years.
10 quarterback hits for the Bears, 3 tackles for loss. They sacked their quarterbacks 4 times. The great man himself, Jervon Dexter, added to his total on the day after his birthday.
You love the fact that it's his birthday.
You know what I love is he's 23.
Did you meet him for drinks or something?
You know what?
I think you mentioned his birthday like 4 times.
I cannot believe that he's that young. I just want you to remember that this is just a developing player. You expect so much from
him. He's having a pretty good year.
He's got 4 sacks in 5 games.
I think he's got as many sacks from an interior lineman as anybody in the NFL.
That's pretty good.
That is very.
You know what?
good David, progress.
You know what the lesson of that is?
What?
Redo your body in the off season.
It is, actually.
I'm going to redo my body in the off season.
That's good.
Hey, you look like you redid your body. Watch this.
He came back, and we said the same thing when you saw him. First of all,
how old is that guy?
He's only two. We said, boy, I can't wait for his birthday. He will have arrived by October 6th.
Well, why can't we celebrate a young man's birthday?
He was in the best shape of his life.
I know.
And he wasn't just saying that.
And he's better than he had been because he's in the best shape of his life.
He's needed to be. You know, Montez Sweat was, I don't want to say neutralized, but they took care of him. He was very quiet.
Yeah, he had a good matchup. Yeah, that was tough.
Moton was a good right tackle, a good matchup for Montez Sweat. But Dexter keeps getting better against certainly pass rushing. You'd like to see him a little more stout against the run at times. But he can't complain about his production. I wondered how long of a day it might be, though, when Chuba Hubbard went through that hole and Tremaine Edmonds looked like he was not very much interested in stopping the run today.
Yeah, no, that was worrisome. They took the lead immediately, and Chuba was, I mean, that was, did he get touched? Seemed like, you know, if you had to describe the Bears' defense on that play, I think you would use the word blocked.
Blocked. Yes.
It just felt like
absent.
That guy was untouched.
They were definitely bystander more than participant.
Yeah, but that was it. They turned it around.
That was the biggest play.
From that point on, it was just all Bears.
Yep, 20 points in the second quarter, a great outburst.
Yes.
Shane Waldron has to feel good about it. The Bears win. They keep pace with a very good division. The Packers did what they needed to do, as we mentioned, and things just get tougher from here. Big day, big week in the NFL. Crazy day in college football on Saturday.
Oh, my God. What was that?
Oh, I that was...
Hey, kudos to Joe Fortenbaugh. He called the Alabama game, right? I mean, he didn't call the victory, but he said that Vanderbilt was going to surprise people and have a big game.
Vandy beating Alabama, one of the biggest upsets of the year in college football. You look at it, what's going on in college football? We'll talk about it. It could be just a sign of the times. It's harder to predict now with teams reloading every year, college free agency changing the balance of power with conferences.
It's unbelievable.
Just hard to figure out who's doing what.
Six of 11? 5 of 11? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The top 11 teams in the country, 5 of them went down.
And then the Major League playoffs, they are
they
never disappoint.
Padres and the Dodgers don't like each other.
These two kids don't like each other. I don't. That last night was... quite
awesome.
A statement by the Padres, your Padres.
My Padres.
After Dylan Cease gave up a big homer to Shohei on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was a big hit in that game.
That was.
But yeah, a lot going on. Nick Castellanos walked it off for the Phillies.
Oh, that
it's
was
hard to watch
cool.
sometimes for all these former Cubs doing things.
Yeah, or Sox.
Both.
Yeah.
I'm not an ex-Chicago flavor.
Should have been White Sox like Manny Machado doing stuff.
I know, right?
I'm just saying.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Oh, don't even bring his name up.
Sorry. A lot of connections.
Whatever you do, don't mention Tatis.
I just did.
Okay. We'll let that one go. No, I'm joking.